Now, on this InvestTalk podcast, Steve Peasley listens to your questions and provides unbiased answers. InvestTalk, over 31 million downloads and counting.
I wanted to get your opinion on ticker symbol.
I just really like it as a long-term play. I
appreciate the show. Appreciate all the knowledge. Thanks, guys.
Your participation makes it unique. 888-99-CHART.
This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody. And this is InvestTalk, the Tuesday edition, September 7th, 2021. And thank you for being with me. Labor Day has passed. And I hope you had a nice Labor Day weekend. I know I did. Went to a movie, had some family over, that kind of thing. We're now moving into September. September is probably known for being one of the worst months of the year. When you're talking about the trading year for stocks, October is known for putting in a bottom, not necessarily being the worst year, but October can be very volatile on the downside and then bounce up. It's happened pretty often in the history of time, but you know, you really can't rely on any of that. You just really can't. There's no time in the market. I mean, I could tell you the cycles. I could tell you the monthly cycles, the yearly cycles. I could tell you all those things, and I've mentioned them all on the air many times. But you can't really use them to time the market because there's always changes or exceptions. And I don't know if we have enough data points to really gauge if they're really that accurate. Data points meaning, you know, 100, 200 years to base things on. And things change. It's one thing about the stock market, if you ever haven't noticed it so far, things change. They just change. Anyways, on today's program and podcast, we will operate with the same mission statement, independent thinking and shared success. And, of course, that is our assurance to you that our market reporting, our process, explanations, educational segments, our stock market commentary when you asked about a stock or the market itself, you know, it's all done with absolute the best information we can provide and without any bias, one way or another. We want to give you the facts, just the facts. I'm Steve Peasley, and I encourage you to contact me. Your financial and investment questions are welcome. You drive the show any direction you want. As long as it's a financial direction, I'm on board. So, you can call me right now. We're live, 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. If you can't call now, you can always call later and leave the question in our voice bank, and we will answer your questions on the next show or the show after that, as fast as we can, anyways. The number never changes, 888-99-CHART. So let's get right to our first question.
Hi, this is Daniel from Houston. I'm calling about stock ticker POR. That's Portland General Electric Company. I bought a position back when it was in its low 30s. It's now risen to about $52 a share. The valuation has come up since I bought, and my question is, should I just continue to hold this stock, or should I be taking profits and exiting my position? Would like to hear your feedback. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Well, it's an electric generation business. Portland General Electric, POR, it's a symbol, engaged in a generation, purchase, transmission, distribution, and sale of electricity. So when you talk about utilities do have their own, I don't know, I guess we'll call it cycle. They usually hold up very good in tough economic times because everybody still needs electricity. So they're defensive in nature, okay? Defensive in nature. And this stock bottomed in the COVID era down to the low 30s. And obviously that's when he bought it. And today, as he said, it's at $50.66. Well, is it worth $50.66? Well, they're going to make $2.75 this year, $2.79 last year. They made $2.81 the year before, so that's about what it's going to trade at. So if you give it a 15 PE, which is the market average, You're talking about a stock that is probably a little overpriced. Okay? Return equity is only 10%, pays a 3.4% dividend. Now, you are getting it much less. You're getting a higher dividend because you purchased the stock at a much less price. So you might be getting 4%, which is great. So you're really only going to hold this stock because of the dividend, because there's not going to be a lot of growth. And the little bit of growth we've got or we've seen is probably about as much as we have, and the price of the stock is built into it. Now, the stock has gotten as high as $60 before COVID, so it could go to 60. But I think you're getting close to to where it's going to go. I don't know how much more upside there is to it. Thanks for the call. POR, Portland General Electric. Let's go to James in New York. Hi, James.
How you doing today?
Good. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, I'd like to ask about Albertsons, ACI. I've had it for about a year, just under a year. I did spectacular with it, and I'm just thinking maybe at some point there may come a time to take some profits. I wonder if we're there yet, or, you know, should I look into selling the position, hold it a little longer?
Okay, it's Albertsons Company is a grocery store chain, 2,277 stores. One thing about grocery store chains is their profit margins are usually pretty thin. So as long as you know that, it pays a small dividend, 1.2%, has a very good return on equity, but also has lots of debt. So that return on equity might not be that real because the debt pushes up return on equity. Anyways, really good cash flow, $8.61. I mean, that's really strong. It's going to make $2.22 next year, $2.20 this year. And it's a $33.50 stock. So I would say it's fairly priced and probably maybe a little high, a little overpriced at this point. And therefore, it might be smart to take some money off the table. Yes, I would. If I bought it as low as you did, I'd probably at least take half my profits off the table. And then if I really wanted to keep it, I would. But I'm not keen in general a long-term holds on grocery store stocks, maybe Costco. But, you know, I just don't think they have enough profit margin in them. I do think commodity prices are going to be pretty strong. Therefore, they might do better going forward. But history has taught me that grocery stores don't go up that fast. And this one has gone up pretty fast. So I think your thinking is correct, James. Maybe take some off the table. Okay? Appreciate the call. My focus point today concerns the story behind the question. In the world of FANG stocks, remember, FAANG stocks, could Netflix have a definitive advantage? So we'll talk about that. You know, FANG is Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, and Alphabet or Google. You know, so we'll talk about that here in a minute. How about some other talking points? Did you hear about El Salvador adopting Bitcoin as a legal currency for Salvador? Bitcoin. We're going to discuss that a little bit. Is long-term care insurance worth the price, worth the cost? This is a tough question, and people have asked me this before. It's not a clear-cut yes or no. It's something that you have to just weigh for yourself. But I want to talk about a little bit about the pros and cons. One other thing. There's a mutual fund called ARK, Innovation, and a lady runs it. She's done very well in the past, and she is predicting something. I wanted to talk about the three areas she is very high on going forward as potential explosive areas where stocks will jump, just to give you an idea. I'm not going to give out stocks, so don't think that. And you know how we've been having the federal government has been forbearance on loans, making banks hold off foreclosing on properties. That's going to end at the end of September. What's that going to do to the housing market? Those are things, if we can get to them, I want to talk to those things. But we may not be able to get to them. We'll get to some, I guarantee you. So how'd the market do today? The Dow was down 269. The NASDAQ was up 11. And the S&P down 15. It started off that way in the morning and kind of just stayed there in a very tight range all day long. So there wasn't much to the market. I would say it was on the downside, weak. Not terribly weak, but weak. I got some theories as to why that's the case, but, you know, they're just theories. Maybe we get to them if we have time. Okay, my trivia question today concerns a belief, but concerns the key beliefs and behaviors that will keep you perpetually in debt, and is coming up at the halfway point of the program. Okay, so we'll talk about that too. Our trivia question. We're headed into a quick break right now, but I'm here and ready to take your questions. I'll tackle anything financial. So give them to me. I'm ready for them. 888-99-CHART.
Summer's moving fast, and you can't afford to lose focus. So have your finance and investment questions ready and call Steve Peasley now. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. We're going to talk to my favorite person, John in San Jose. Hey, John.
Hi, Steve. Love your show. You give such great advice.
Well, thank you,
I call about RIG, R-I-G, oil drillers, with the Louisiana hurricane. I wonder if it's a good time to start buying oil.
Well, you know, one of the problems we have is they have an administration for drillers that is kind of anti-oil drilling. That's one of our problems. And I'm not sure what's in this, you know, this infrastructure package, but I have a feeling there's a lot of green energy stuff in it, which is not going to support drillers or oil companies, right? So I'm a little hesitant because of this, okay? Transocean.
Yeah, it's down $3 stock, so I thought that was low to buy it.
Pretty low price, and one of the reasons is sales are falling sharply, down 29% in the most recent quarter, down 14% the quarter before that, 13% the quarter before that, and they're losing money. They're going to lose money this year, next year. They lost money the last 4 or 5 years, so that's why it's a $3 stock, not because, you know, it is one of the bigger drillers, provides offshore contract drilling for oil and gas wells worldwide.
Right, yeah.
The whole world is anti-oil at this point, seems like, and that's what they're fighting. They're fighting that prejudice against oil, and, you know, clean energy is the quote-unquote future. But
so probably sideways then, you think?
Yeah, I really don't think it's going to do much until they have a change in administration that's more pro-oil. But by then, you know, you got to be real quick if that happens, you know, because it's going to shoot up. Appreciate the call.
Can you check CLF real quick? CLF?
CLS, it's in Sam?
Frank.
CLF. Cleveland Cliffs. Producer of fat rolled steel and superior iron ore pellets and so on and so forth. I like this one much better. They're going to make $5.83 this year, then $3.60 next year, but it's a $23 stock. So it's awfully inexpensive. And it's huge growth. I like this a lot better. It has made a pretty strong move from its low, $4 or $5. Now it's at 23. I think it has room to go higher. I do. Good luck with it. Hope it works for you. Okay? When people take time to leave an investment podcast review on iTunes, we like to thank them. And we do that with a courtesy question that if they ask one, we'll get to as fast as we'll put them ahead of the line a little bit, okay? So Michael from Texas, my father-in-law introduced me to your podcast 1 year ago, and I've been a regular listener ever since. I wanted to ask, what is the correct percentage allocation to international stocks for an aggressive investor who is 100% in stocks? Okay, I'll answer that question right after the break. We got a quick break. I'm sorry, I have to get pushed. Got to take the break. We're headed into the break again. Any listener line call coming up, I would love to have you call. 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk is here to help. And when you download the free InvestTalk podcasts, don't forget to rate and review. The phone lines are open. 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART. Remember, I had a trivia question before the... I didn't have a trivia. I had a question before the break, and it was how much of a 100% invested stock portfolio should be in foreign stocks? And I adjust that. I always adjust it depending on the environment of the world. You know, it depends because there's a lot of growth coming out of Asia. We know that. But it's also extremely volatile compared to our market. So you got to be prepared for that. So I would say between, you know, maybe 10% to 15% would be an average exposure. And you also have to remember that the S&P 500, the 500 largest companies in our market, half of their earnings come from outside the United States. So even if you bought a company that's one of the bigger companies here in the United States, you do have foreign exposure. You just don't have the transition between foreign currencies and the U.S. currency that could affect your profits or losses. So it depends. And remember, a lot of foreign companies are traded on our exchange in the form of ADRs, American Depository Receipts. So there are foreign companies traded here. And, you know, so you can buy those on our exchange. You don't have to go to a foreign exchange. Let's go to Bill in Pismo Beach up north from me. How you doing, Bill?
Hey, Steve, doing well. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling. I appreciate that.
I'm holding 3M in a diversified account, you know, for growth and income as well. And it seems to have hit a rough patch here. I just wanted to get your feeling on which direction you think this would go and what your opinion on continuing to hold the stock in the near term.
I think it's consolidating here. It looks like it's consolidating between about 185, right where it is today. I've had a bad day today, and 205 to 210. So I'm thinking if it holds here, I think it will hold here or very close to here too. Is there news out that why it fell so hard today? Because it led the Dow on the downside. I wonder what the news is.
I didn't see the news.
I'm looking quickly and I don't see anything. You say you already own it?
Yeah, I've owned it for a couple of years, kind of a long-term play. So yeah, I have a decent profit, but...
Okay. You know, I don't think I'd get rid of it. I mean, sales growth was 25% in the most recent quarter. Before that was 10. Before that was 6. You know, so this year, its growth is increasing. And the profits are going to be $10.10 a share this year. That's up from $8.80 last year. And then next year, $10.81, and it's $185 stock. It's not by any means cheap, but I wouldn't also say that it's expensive. It's probably fairly priced. And you're getting a 3.2%. You're probably getting a higher dividend because you bought it at a lower price. So, I don't know. I think I'd hold on to it. It's one of 3M provides industrial tapes, adhesives, medical and office products, surveillance and communications products. It's one of those big blue chip companies that is very well run. So I'm thinking I'd hold on to it. I would. Thanks for the call, Bill. Appreciate it. My focus point today concerns the story behind the question. In the world of FANG stocks, F-A-A-N-G, Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, and Google, could Netflix have a definitive advantage? And the reason why that is even discussed is because a lot of those stocks, those FANG stocks, have headwinds. If you think about what Netflix does. Netflix doesn't really produce products, right? Other than entertainment, they don't have to worry about shortage of chip supplies or disruptions in the supply chain. They don't have to worry about any of those things, right? I think about holiday season. They don't have to worry about getting their products on the shelves. Maybe offering a Netflix subscription might be a great gift, but Netflix doesn't have to worry about, do I have enough on the shelf? You don't have to worry about any of that. So I'm kind of, I think that's what this article is kind of inferring, that they don't have some of the headwinds the other FANG stocks might have. So is that true? Well, it might be true, but what about Netflix's price? What about, you know, do you not pay attention to the price earnings ratio and all those kind of things? Well, I never pay attention to it. I think fundamentals is the first thing you look at. And Netflix is only going to make, okay, it's going to grow 72% its earnings this year. That's huge, to $10.43. And next year, another 24% to $12.91. But it's a $606 stock. It's super expensive. Can it continue to go up like that? That's my concern. I could. As you work to build your secure financial picture, are you forever slowed down by bad habits such as carrying excessive debt? So as we go to break, here's my trivia question. If you can't seem to get and stay ahead, you should be aware of the key beliefs and behaviors that will keep you perpetually in debt. So can you name 4 or 5 debt immersion signals? In other words, why you are always not able to get ahead because you're always in debt? That's going to be our trivia question as soon as we come back, everybody. 888-99-CHAR is my number.
Of all the finance and investing podcasts and all the downloads in all the world, you've discovered InvestTalk.
At this time, do you think it would be better to keep it in this bond or move it to cash?
Looks like the sector is down today, so just thinking about, you know, potentially buying the dip.
And since InvestTalk hosts Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are committed to answering your questions with their unique blend of expert insight and unbiased guidance, you've got to ask yourself one question. Why haven't you called InvestTalk?
Hey, it's James from Australia. I'm loving the podcast.
You know you listen. You know you should call. You know you want to call.
So I was wondering the best options for long-term growth.
You'll get a reliable answer and the same positive feeling that tens of thousands of InvestTalk callers have already experienced.
Thank you so much. I love the show.
Don't forget to call InvestTalk. 888-99-CHART. You are listening to Invest Talk. Every Friday on the program and the podcast, Steve Peasley shares highlights from the newest edition of the KPP Premium Newsletter. Listen Fridays to Invest Talk. And now, Steve and Justin welcome your calls and questions. 888-99-CHART.
Okay, so I had a trivia question before the break. If you can't seem to get and stay ahead, you should be aware of the key beliefs and behaviors that will keep you in perpetual debt. And if you're in perpetual debt, you're never going to get ahead. So I'm going to give you some behaviors that you have to see if you have. And if you do, these are the kinds of things you need to change if you want to get ahead of things and be retire comfortably, you know, sooner than you would ever be. Or many people are not even able to retire. Many people. So here are several behaviors to watch out for in yourself. You believe debt is part of life. Debt is not a part of life. A Pew study found that 7 out of 10 people said debt is a necessary thing in their lives. That kind of thinking is wrong. You don't have to have debt. You don't. Now, there's good debt and bad debt, and we can discuss that. But debt in itself is not a good thing to have. You use credit to cover emergencies. You should never use credit cards to cover or credit of any kind to cover emergencies. You should have an emergency fund set aside. You should have money set aside for emergencies. You make only minimum payments. You should pay off your credit card completely every month. If you can't do that, that means you're using debt to live on instead of your earnings. You're living beyond your means. Yes, and people say, well, I can't afford this, I can't afford that. Yes, you can. You just don't want to. You don't want to live within your means. You want the nicer things. Well, of course everybody does. But if you want to have nicer things forever and live comfortably in retirement, you got to make sacrifice. Delayed gratification. Delay it. You make only... Okay, I did that one. You allow expenses to rise with your income. So why? Just because your income goes up, why are you spending more? All of it? You, matter of fact, all that income raises you get, you should... Every cent of it goes into your IRA, your 401k, until you max those things out. Every cent of that. Because if you're living on the lesser amount, you can live on that more going forward and just put your raises away. Not that hard. And finally, you use payday loans, the most expensive loans out there. Do not do that. And don't forget your credit scores. Make sure you have good credit scores, everybody. You know, and it's not hard to keep your credit score high, because whenever you buy a house or you have to, you know, buy something on a loan and you have to do it, well, credit score means a lot as to costs. Okay, so those are the things you need to look at. Okay, let's keep things moving back to InvestTalk Voice Bank for a call that came in earlier from New York.
Hello, Duncan from New York. Hope you are having a happy Labor Day weekend. Thanks again for the answer of my previous call about InMode and not chasing returns. My next question is kind of an investment thesis and a stock. Because you guys keep on doing a great job explaining about inflation, I'm looking for a different short to medium term approach to try to capitalize on this. I have a question on ETF, B as in boy, D as in Duncan, R as in road, Y as in yes, BDRY, BDRY ETF. It is about the shipping, all the shipping companies that is capitalizing on all the high costs of inflation. Would this be a good idea to invest short term? Would you suggest I try to do more research and try to pick on individual stocks? Just trying to just learn. So I appreciate the answer and looking forward to hearing from you. Bye.
Okay, so this is an exchange-traded fund, BDRY, Break Wave Dry Bulk Ship. It's an ETF syncing performance corresponding to the futures contracts on the cost of shipping dry bulk freight. Okay, so they're trading futures. Okay, and you, that's not an easy thing to do. I'm not saying they can't do it. They've been doing it, and it looks like, on based on the chart, they're doing a decent job. But notice how volatile this stock is. It was 2019, it was $22, $23 stock. Early 2019, it was down to $8. Before that, 2018, it was back up at $23. Then COVID, it fell all the way down to $4 or $5. And today, it's at $26.90. Very, very volatile. And the dry bulk shipping industry, or even in the, when they ship oil, all those, the shipping companies are very volatile. And this was not even investing in shipping companies, and investing in the futures contracts on the cost of shipping dry bulk freight. So, you know, they're related to shipping, and they have to know what the cycle is and a lot of other things they have to know. It's very risky, and I don't know if you're not very well attuned to futures and shipping. I probably wouldn't try it. Okay, I would. Okay, 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So El Salvador, population about 5 million, I think, or so, adopts Bitcoin. This is the first country to do so, and I'm talking about adopting it as a means of trade, of paying for things, a currency. They're adopting it as a currency, a government-sponsored currency. They're using Bitcoin. So what did they do? They bought, 400 Bitcoins at $20 million, and the government is running Bitcoin wallets out of 200 Bitcoin ATMs, and they're issuing Bitcoin wallets at $30 each. Okay, is this going to work? Now, the businesses in El Salvador are required to take Bitcoin as a medium of exchange. They don't get a choice. They got to take it. So I'm finding this odd at this point, but it's just giving you a little sense of the more legitimizing cryptocurrency. I have told you over and over and over, I think cryptocurrency is here to stay. Who's going to be the winner? Well, Bitcoin certainly is in the lead. But did you notice that Bitcoin went down 18% today in one day? Did you notice that another cryptocurrency called Dogecoin went down 30% in one day today? So there's very, you know, it's like riding a roller coaster. I can see how, though, a small Latin American company or a country or any country that's small and issues it wants to, you know, use its own coins or has, it wants to keep control of inflation. I can see how they can do that. And maybe a cryptocurrency that they cannot just print all they want and destroy their currency value might be a good way to control, have some controls of the economy. Because politicians can't control their spending. Look at ours. They just can't. Okay, let's take another InvestTalk voice bank question. This time it concerns mutual funds.
Hi, guys. I've been listening to your podcast for a little while now, and I just had a question regarding mutual funds and which to select. So I'm 32. I have a pension now that I'm going to be doing pretty good on, but I have my Roth IRA, which I've been putting money into every paycheck. And I've been doing reading, and it's been saying to do either a small cap growth or a mid-cap growth. And then I've been reading somewhere it's saying to do value now more so than growth. If you guys could just give me some insight on what type of mutual fund I should be investing in, I'd appreciate it. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Okay, there's three basic categories of market capitalization, sizes of companies, small, medium, and large. Okay, and of course you have the micro cap, and then you have the super giant cap, but those are generally the three categories that most people refer to. And generally speaking, small cap companies grow faster than big cap, okay? But they're also more volatile, more risky. So if it was me, I would suggest that if you're just starting out, well, why don't you spread out in all three categories, small, mid, and large. Now, besides the category of sizes of company, you also have the areas of investment. And those also are breaking down into a broad category called value versus growth. Okay, value versus growth. Excuse me. Value is, generally speaking, companies that are trading at or discount to their fundamentals of the company. They are what we say, well, they're cheap compared to their fundamentals. Growth, they're usually way overpriced compared to their fundamentals, but their sales growth is very fast. Value companies' sales growth could be fast, could be slow, could be none, but the value of the stock is very low. So it's always a mixture of these in your mutual fund. What should you have? And right now, the value versus growth question, growth has been since 1999, has been the place to be. But value over a long period of time, 100 years, usually outperforms growth. So where everybody's thinking, and I am too, that maybe it's value's turn now. But growth is still doing very well. We'll see. Anyways, those are very good questions. If you want more specifics, you can give me a call. We'll talk about it. Okay? Okay, September has started. The year feels like it's moving. I mean, holidays are upon us here, right? I mean, geez, summer's ending. So almost every podcast, I like to give a little bit of a reminder of what we do here at KPP Financial. We're in Irvine, California. That's Orange County. Orange County is between L.A. County and San Diego County. I happen to be talking to you from San Juan Capistrano, which is where I live. Okay, and so that's where we are. So I also mentioned about our philosophy, independent thinking and shared success, and how we operate. We operate on we have very firm in our belief in unbiased guidance. We don't buy or use a lot of registered investment advisors. They just gather money and give it to a big company like Goldman Sachs, and you don't even know about it. But they use one of their trading systems and one of their philosophies, and then they sell it to you. Well, this is a system we have, and you may not even know that they're not really managing your money, that someone in the background is managing your money. We don't do that. We actually do the managing. And I buy the same things for myself as I do for my clients. Same price, same time. We call it parallel investing. I think that's the best way to go. Justin and I do that. We don't believe in, not putting our money where our mouth is. We don't believe that. Big houses won't do that. They will not do that. Matter of fact, they will state just the opposite. Why? Because of, to be perfectly honest, this day and age, there is no excuse. But it used to be that there's so many offices and so many different clients want different things, and therefore they couldn't do that, right? Well, I don't do that. Not one of these big, huge companies. I will price the same thing, same price, same percentage as my clients. Anyways, we would love to take a look at your portfolio, and after about 10 minutes, you'll see the difference in us. We'll just talk to you about your portfolio. We won't try to sell you anything. We would love to have you as a client, but maybe it won't fit. Maybe you just want some advice. We'll do that. You know, we really do want to help people. That's what we do. And I know that sounds cliche, but it is true. I will help you. Okay? 888-99-CHART is my number. 888-992-4278. You can give me a call. Be happy to talk to you about anything financial. Okay. We have laws on the books that is requiring the banks to have forbearance on foreclosing on people's property for not paying their mortgage. Okay, and we've had this for now three, four, five years. I don't even know how long. Right now, there's about 1.7 million of these houses that are under this forbearance. Forbearance laws end in September. Now, that doesn't mean all 1.7 million all of a sudden, boom, no. No, it's going to be September, it's going to start, and then it'll be over a period of time. How long, I don't know. Now, why I'm mentioning this, we know that the housing market seems to have peaked. This, over time, is going to put 1.7 million more houses on the market. Now, mind you, our housing market is huge, okay? There's like, we have like, 80 million homeowners out there? Right now, though, there's only about 600,000 houses for sale right now. And we're going to have 1.7 million more. Well, let's say they don't even close on 1.7. They won't. Most of those people probably will either refinance or do something. But let's say it's only, I think the estimate they think is going to be around, 15% or so of that 1.7 million? Okay. That's going to put a lot of pressure downward, I would think, because we have a lot more houses coming on the market, and we're already peaked. Already we're seeing houses on the market longer than they were. Remember there was bidding wars not that long ago? Bidding wars. You have 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 bids on the house that you put up for sale. That's kind of gone. It's turning quickly. So we need to have more of these properties coming on. I'm not saying it's going to be a buyer's market. It just might not be a very strong seller's market. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley, and we have one goal here, to help you achieve financial freedom. And, of course, our goal will continue after this break. So give me a call, 888-99-CHART.
Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, where Invest Talk hosts and KPP principals Steve Peasley and Justin Klein practice parallel investing. That means Steve and Justin's accounts participate with client investments at equal prices and percentages. You can learn more about parallel investing at investtalk.com.
Hi, this is Donald. I'm from Pennsylvania, and I'd like you to look at Joann Fabrics. Ticker symbol is JOAN. There was a large sell-off on Friday, It seems to be at a point where I'd like to buy it. I just would like you to look at the earnings per share, which I think it says it's $5.90, and then the PE ratio is still positive, but only at 1.7. And it has a return on equity of negative 194%. I don't know if this is a good buy point, but it seems to me that the company is a little bit on the oversold. Joanne Fabrics, I'll listen for the answer on the podcast. Thank you very much for your help.
Well, it's definitely oversold. That I'll give you. It has. Joanne, J-O-A-N, Symbol operates 855 retail stores in 49 states offering fabrics and sewing accessories. And obviously, this stock, this company, if you've ever been in one, they're very slow. Low margin, not exciting kind of business. And that's why it trades so low on a P.E. ratio. They're going to make $2.46 this year. I'll take that back. Okay, they're going to make $4.13 this year and $2.46 next year, $2.74 the year after that. They pay a pretty high dividend, 4%, and it's a $10.05 stock. So even $2.46 next year and $2.74, you can see how cheap the stock really is. It's a very low-cost stock. But the five-year P.E. range for this company is 2 to 5. It's always been very low price stock. So 2 times $2.74 is not what? $5, almost $6.20? And 5 times that is, you know, if it ever got there, it'd be $13 or so. So, you know, it is very oversold because it's recently been up as high as $16 or so. But, there's no catalyst for this to be up other than a bounce from being oversold. And that's about it. That's all you have. It's kind of maybe a trade. If you want to hold on for the dividend, well, that's fine. But it's a pretty small company, only $423 million. It's too small for me to hold on to for any length of time. So I wouldn't hold on to for the dividend because it's so small. I don't know how secure it is. J-O-A-N, everybody. That's the symbol. Okay. Do you know who Catherine Woods is? Well, she is the money manager, the manager for ARK Innovative ETF. ARK Innovation. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure exactly how they want to spell that. Her fund was up 150% in 2020. This year is down 2.5%. Why am I even bringing her up? Because she is a momentum investor. If you really want to take really high risk, this is the fund you could use, an ETF that's what it does. And right now it's focused on robotics, fintech, and space exploration stocks. But she has a history of being a super winner or not so good. This year's not so good. I kind of like the fact that it's not so good this year. But I also wanted to bring up the fact that these are the three sectors she's high on that maybe you could do your own homework and find some stocks in robotics, fintech, or space exploration. Kind of like that kind of, you know, thinking. In other words, you don't have to buy her fund, but these are the stocks that she's focusing on. And she has a history of boom and bust. And this year has been kind of a bust so far for her. So, because last year was a big boom. I mean, she was up 150% 2020. That's a lot for that year. A lot. So, just something to think about, everybody. Take a look. Make your own decision. Okay? I'm Steve Peasley, and this completes another InvestTalk program. Justin Klein and I thank you for listening, and we encourage you to tell your friends and family about us. I mean, we have free podcasts. This show will be downloaded. We cut out all the commercials, and you can download it and listen to it anytime you want. So, you know, we're very pleased that we're all in 50 states and about 50 countries around the world. So we appreciate your help on that. It's free downloads you can get at iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and, of course, InvestTalk.com. You can view and rate us. We would appreciate that on iTunes. Independent thinking. Share success, everybody. This is Invest Talk, and I hope you have a great night. See you tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president and Justin Klein, chief executive officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. And they thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.